How's it going with you guys? It's a good day. It's a good day. I told Isaac this morning that about Weatherford, he was on my mind. I thought, you know, I think I should text Isaac and say, what's up? But I didn't, so he decided to come. Anyway, so it's great. Really excited for everybody who has come this morning to be here. I'm glad that Betty made it without Art. Looks like she got kind of an upgrade. It's all good. It's all good. We are excited about our CCC family, wherever they are, right? They're scattered and doing good things. I'm convinced that Hawaii is a good place already, but it's a better place with Art there. Yeah, right. So we've been doing this series for a few weeks called Why Do We Do What We Do? And that could last for, you know, decades perhaps, just doing it on and on. But last couple weeks ago, Danny talked about baptism. And then Jeremy talked about communion. Last week I talked about the good confession. The idea of baptism, we could talk about that for several weeks, really. And Danny was just fabulous, kind of give us the big overview of so many different things that baptism does and the reasons why we do it and the scripture pertaining to it. But just the thought of this moment in our life when our sins and our old self die. Isn't that good? That our sin is buried. And our old self dies, and a new self is raised. Isn't that good? There's a moment where, I mean, I got junk in my life. It died. Done with it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. But it died, and is buried. And God raised me up a new person. And then communion, and I thought Jeremy was just great about the connecting it to Passover and the idea of just what that meant. But this is just the idea that we're doing it over and over. And like Pam told us this morning, talked about it this morning, the idea that we get to do this, we get to participate. Get this, participate. Not just think about it. We participate in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We get to participate. We die. We're raised as he was. And last week I talked about the good confession. And you know, the good confession, the way I went at it was this: Jesus is Lord. And we did that already this morning several times in the songs we've sung, in the things we've said to each other. Jesus is Lord. We confess that with our lips. Romans tells us to confess it with your lips, but also with your life, how you live. We live differently. Well, today we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to do something else that maybe we don't think about as much. And I'm going to call it first the checklist and the pot roast. The checklist and the pot roast. One of the things that we're doing this series for is to think about why we do what we do, rather than just go down a checklist, checking the box. Well, did we do this? Did we turn the lights on? Did we turn the heat up? Did we plug in the amplifier? Is this just a checklist? Or is there more to it than that? And some of you know the story that's been told over and over and over about the young woman coming of age wanting to cook a pot roast like her mother did. Y'all have heard this story perhaps. The young woman wanted to cook a pot roast just like her mother's because it was great. And so she's reading, going kind of through the instructions that she remembered in her mind, and she remembered that her mom always cut the end off of the pot roast. And she asked, she said, well, I wonder why we do that. And so she asked her mom, why do we do that? And said, well, we do that because, you know, your grandmother's recipe was always, we did it the way grandmother did it. I watched her, I learned from her, and she always cut the end off. But I don't really know why. Maybe you should ask her. So she called her grandmother and said, "Grandmother, why do we cut the end off the pot roast? Why did you teach mom to do that? And that's the way I've learned to do it as well." And she said, "Well, actually, I don't really know why we did it. I did it. That's because it's the way my mom did it. So your great-grandmother did it this way." And she says, "You could still call her. She's still here, and you could still call her." And so she called her, and she said, "Well, the reason her great-great-grandmother says the reason I cut the end off the pot roast is because our pot wasn't big enough for the whole roast. And so we cut it off." And a lot of times, that's why we do things. It's just because we saw someone else do it. We'd have no idea why they did that. I don't know why we sit in rows like this. I don't know why. But every church I've been to, we sit in rows. I don't know. We sit in rows here. So that's why we're doing the series, right? We're saying, why do we do these things we do? Is there more to it than just that's the way grandma did it? And so we're going to kind of look at the list today of just the bulletin there. You got it? You're wondering, why do we do these things? What's the deal about doing these things? Sometimes it feels like when we're doing things like this, we're just going through the motions, checking the box. So I was a football coach, as lots of you, most of you know. I tell you almost every week. And as a football coach, we would prepare our practices and we'd have a practice schedule. And there were certain things we're going to do every day in the practice. And one of the ways we began the practice was usually some kind of just cardio activity, run a lap or something like that. And then we'd do some stretching. And stretching was part of the daily practice. It was part of the order of practice. But some guys would kind of blow off stretching, you know. And I don't know, you would do different kind of stretches, you know, and some guys, and they just would talk about, you know, different things, like do it halfway, you know, like instead of touching the ground, they kind of can't touch the ground anyway, so they're just going to kind of bend over a little bit and, you know, do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and not really go into it. But you know what? Flexibility is important in athletics. And a lot of guys who went through the motions of stretching, it didn't turn out well for them, you know? And sometimes that's the way I feel like sometimes church becomes, if we don't realize why we're doing what we're doing, and we go about it with our whole heart. And I think that the same would be true in the weight room. I got lots of coaching analogies. I don't want to stop at that. But this is where we're going to look at. Why do we do these things we do? Why do we do these things we do? Some of them, like the unity prayer. The unity prayer is something almost every Sunday, and I do this too, we almost always describe why we do it. Because it's an odd thing necessarily, not necessarily done in lots of other churches. So we begin usually the unity prayer. We do the unity prayer here at Christ Community Church. At our church, we do the unity prayer, and I really like it. And the reason we do it is because, and we tell the reason. We don't do that with some of the other things, and that's what I'm going to try to do today. I want to think about, first of all, just why do we come? Why do we show up? Is there some magnetic pull? We're going to read Hebrews 10. In Hebrews, as we talked about this before a little bit, the context was, and we're learning to appreciate context more, aren't we, as we read Scripture. The context of the message of Hebrews was to a group of people who were experiencing suffering. And they were probably second-generation Christians. Second-generation Christians had a different view than first-generation Christians because those first-generation Christians thought Jesus was going to come any minute. And he didn't come again, you know. And so they're like, "Hey, where are you? Things are getting rough down here. We need you to hurry up and come back." So they're having trouble, and it's being oppressed by the government, the Roman Empire primarily. And so as they're being oppressed, they need encouragement. And so these verses, let's consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. And then those three dots there, are, as is the habit of some, that doesn't take as much room on the slide. That's why I did it that way. But it says, not giving up meeting together like some people do, but encouraging each other all the more. That's why we show up. The reason Kevin showed up was to spur Danny on to good works, to good deeds. The reason that Sally showed up was to encourage Jeremy. This is why we showed up. The reason Isaac showed up is because, well, I don't know why Isaac showed up, but what happened when he got here, is he encouraged all of us. Did you see that? I mean, like walked in the room and the lights got brighter. It just happened. That's what happens when we're encouraging each other. That's why we come together. Now then, we do certain things when we come together. And I want to talk about some of those good things, but I'm going to do it from the perspective of what I'm going to call the worship fiasco in Corinth. The books of 1st and 2nd Corinth are pretty hard to read if you were the actual recipient, because Paul is kind of, well, he's chewing them out, just flat out. He's getting after them pretty good, because they were messing up pretty bad. And in 1 Corinthians, what they were doing, their worship services were a disaster. And one of the ways it was a disaster the most was communion. And what would happen in communion, it talks about some people were feasting. They were having a big, giant party. They were having a meal, which was often the case that communion was in the context of a meal. But these guys, the way they were doing it, they were bringing like extraordinary, if you had the money, you would have a great feast. If you didn't, you'd have peanut butter and jelly. You know, that was the way it's going to go. You're either going to have steak or peanut PB&J. And there was a lot of conflict going on between the richer and the poorer because of this. And so not only that, But the folks were having such a party at it that they were actually getting drunk. Oh, they had, you know, now I know Jesus might not have drank alcoholic wine. At least that's what I learned when I grew up. But, you know, that's kind of a joke there for you old Church of Christ folks. But these guys were drinking and getting drunk. They were having a problem with their worship. It was going way out of control. And so what he tells them is, what you need to do is discern the body. Two things were remedies for their problem. One was examine yourself, and number two was discern the body. So examine yourself has to do with the idea that, okay, I need Jesus. So I'm here because I need Jesus. I was baptized, and now I'm taking the communion, and I'm going to participate in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I'm examining myself. I'm confessing my sin. I'm coming forward. I'm saying, do I need to change some of the things I'm doing? I'm examining myself. And then number two is discerning the body. Now, scholars are split kind of on what does this mean to discern the body? What is the body? Some would say it means the body of Christ, the actual physical body of Christ as he hung on the cross. And I think that's okay. That we should think about the physical body of Christ and his actual suffering that he went through as he died for us. That's appropriate to think about. I don't think that's what it primarily means, though. I think it's talking about when we discern the body of Christ, it's discerning the body of Christ, the church. I think that because the chapters following is when Paul lays out that stuff about some of you are a hand and some of you are a foot and some of you are an eye and some of you are an ear. And so he's talking about the body of Christ, that we are the body of Christ. By the way, when you've heard about that, talked about before, the idea of the body of Christ and that, you know, are you a foot, or are you a hand, or are you an ear, or are you a mouth, or are you an eye? What, do you have a part that you can think about yourself? What was your part? What's your part? Mouth. Yeah. Yeah. Love, not an eye? You're not an eye. Well, I was hair, but then that didn't work out. But he talks about that we are the body of Christ, right? We are the body of Christ. We've come together, and so it's important for us to discern the body. Let me give you my example of the body of Christ and how this works. There was a Sunday in 1990. I'm at church with my wife and my two sons. They are 10 and 11 years old. And on the Saturday before this Sunday, we buried their grandfather. He died of prostate cancer. It had been a long and hard battle with cancer. And my boys prayed. They prayed for healing. And when he wasn't healed, that was tough. And it was tough to explain to them. One was a little bit more frustrated than the other. And he's like, God didn't answer our prayer. What's the deal? He was very upset and very sad. It was a sad day. On that Sunday, we went to church. And sitting in front of us was a family who had a baby, and it was their first time to bring the baby to church. And so during the announcement, they announced that my father-in-law had passed away, and then they announced that a baby had been born right there, and we're sitting, by chance, we're sitting right behind the baby. They're really happy. We're really sad. In Romans, Paul says that we ought to be people, this is Romans 12, verse 15, we ought to be people who rejoice with people who rejoice, and we mourn with people who mourn. This is part of discerning the body. We've done this in this church many, many times. There's been some highs and lows. One day, we'll come in and we'll have people, they're on the top. Man, things are great. And a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, same people, we're going to be suffering. We're going to be in panic mode for our family. And what do we do about that? Or how do we even know? I want to suggest that mourning with people who mourn, being sad with the people who are sad, and being happy with the people who are happy is part of all of our jobs. If I'm sad, but you're celebrating, I think God wants me to celebrate with you, even though I'm personally sad. If you're celebrating and I'm sad, I think God wants you to be sad with me. Does that make sense? How you can be both? I can be happy for you, even though I'm sad for me. This is discerning the body of Christ. Now, that's not the only way. There's other ways than that we discern the body. Sometimes, some of the things that we need to do is think about confessing our own sins. I have certain needs. I'm poor, you're not. I need to share my needs with you. This is one of the things that Danny's great reading of 2 Corinthians was about. Sometimes we're the people who are in need. We need to share that. Sometimes the people, the ones who have plenty. And this is discerning the body. What do you have? Are you the one in need? I need to share that. Are you the one who has plenty? I need to share that so that we know each other. Now, I think we already are doing this here at CCC. And I want to talk about the different ways we might do it. Oops, I already talked about the funeral and the baby shower. Y'all know. I want to talk about these things right here. I want to talk about announcements, or as we call it today, family life, greeting. I want to talk about pastoral prayers. I'm going to call it that today. And then I want to talk about small groups. All of us do this as we come here. First of all, one of the things that happens in announcements and also in the bulletin itself. Yeah? What's this for? Steve got up in front of us today And he talked about some things. Actually, when Steve usually gets up, we have some banter back and forth. And our congregation shares what's going on. What's up? This is part of discerning the body. I need to know what's going on. I'm probably not going to go to the women's Christmas party. Is that what's called? The ladies what? See, I don't even know that, but you've announced it. The ladies' luncheon, but I need to know about that. This is part of discerning the body, that I know what's going on with us. And we find that out in the family life or the announcements. Okay? Everybody kind of nod, like, okay, that makes sense to me. You kind of go with me there. Give me a little feedback here. And then we have a greeting. And I want to expand on our time of greeting. We do it some different ways, and Jeanette's usually the one who kicks us off, right? Not 99% of the time if she's here. And we are given some instructions during the greeting. Okay? Not Jeanette talk right now, but the rest of us. We're going to give me some feedback. What does Jeanette say? What are the instructions she gives us when we have the greeting? Say hi. Okay, what else might she say? I'm glad you're here, right? I'm glad you're here. This is an awesome thing for us to do for each other that may have a little more depth than even what you think. I'm going to talk about something that other churches do. Some, and I like the idea. I'm not saying we should do this, by the way. I like the way we do it. But this is called passing the peace. Do you all know what passing the peace is? Some of you have passed the peace before. If you've passed the peace before, raise your hand. Even you can be a little baby. Sally, maybe some of you have and you didn't know it. I'm going to read this about it. It says, from the beginning, Christians have exercised this practice. They say, peace be with you. It's a greeting that Jesus himself used. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, okay? And the apostle Paul opened his letters with this, grace and peace be to you. The disciple, Jesus used it with his disciples. I think we say, we're glad you're here. It says, today in many congregations, we may pass the peace during a mutual greeting, after words of assurance, prior to celebrating the Lord's Supper, or at the conclusion of the worship service. That sounds like our greeting, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound kind of like our greeting? Okay. At these times, we leave the comfort of our seat, you know, because we're instructed to what? Yeah. We leave the comfort of our seat, we turn to our neighbors, we grasp their hands, and we speak the words, the peace of the Lord is with you. We say, instead of the peace of the Lord is with you, we say, I'm glad you're here. Okay? But in this moment, we are discerning the body. Okay, now it can be just going through the motions, like my football team, you know, just it's time to stretch. Okay, whatever, you know. You know, that can be the way we do it. You could see it as, and sometimes it's me, sometimes if the greeting is kind of late in the order, I will have to be putting on the mic and going to the bathroom because, you know, I need to do those things before I preach. But the thing is, this can be a really, I think, important moment for us to discern the body. I want to see how you're doing. Now, another really important and good question to ask each other is, how are you doing? Now, as usually when people ask the question, how are you doing, the most common response, universally, or I should say, at least in English-speaking territories, we say, how are you doing? And the response is, fine. How you ever? I didn't coach you at all. You all knew the answer is fine. And you say fine even if you're not fine. Right? And in this way, we don't discern the body. Part of discerning the body is knowing that I can share. And you know what? We can share here. We share all the time. Now, sometimes it's not the time and place. So there's a little bit of a time and place issue. But a lot of times what we can do as we're moving around in the lots of different, I'm going to call it free time we have here at our worship, it's a time to start a conversation. And this happens to me a lot. This happened to me last week. So Georgie said, Bob, I need to talk to you. I said, right now? No, we probably need to talk a different time. And so we, in this moment, we're beginning a discern the body moment. And then later we have this really good conversation about different kinds of things, but both of us shared about our lives. And today, Georgie and I know each other much better than we did last Sunday, because at a moment she said, "Can we talk?" This is discerning the body. This is what's important for us when we come together to discern the body. And that doesn't mean you're going to tell your whole life story or all the problems that are going on to you right now today at the moment we come. But sometimes I need help. Sometimes I want to share something. I want to share a story that's really a good story, and I don't have the time to share it, so I want to get with you and share it later. Sometimes I'm sad or junk is going on in my life, or I'm depressed. I need some help. And I might need some help, family help, or I might need some other kinds of personal help, and I need some help. And I need to be able to say, if you say, "How are you doing?" I say, "I'm not too good. I need some help." Now then, the next person who comes, I might say, "Have you ever done this?" I've done this on the same day. Somebody come up and ask me, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm not doing too good. I need to talk to you." Another person would come up like 10 seconds later and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm fine." Because, you know, I wanted to talk to the one person. I don't want to share my stuff with the other person. But the idea that we will discern the body requires this give and take, this readiness to be available, and then also this readiness to share. We're going to discern the body in what I'm going to call the greeting. Now, we also do it what I'm calling the pastoral prayer, but I don't know why I call it. It's because it's the idea that I'm going to pray for you. And you're going to pray for me. We would call it intercessory prayer, where I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to pray for me. And we do this in lots of ways at this church, which is awesome. One of the ways we do it is in the class in the morning. It's right here. We have a prayer list. We put this stuff up on that prayer list, and we pray. And sometimes we pray beyond this class. I mean, I pray for stuff that's on this list for even not just during class time. We pray for it a lot. Sometimes we have prayer cards. And Art and Danny do a great job of keeping track of the prayer requests that come into the church through the prayer cards and other ways. And so every Sunday evening, a group meets to pray just for those requests. Like I said, Art and Danny do a great job of keeping up, and we'll be praying for you as long as we know that struggle continues. Man, somebody's praying for you every week, every week. But there's other ways we come to know each other and pray for each other too. And I'm going to call, you know, what happens on Wednesday night here. You know, there's a whole different group that meets here on Wednesday night. We have a church Sunday and a church Wednesday. And that church Wednesday, especially in the youth group, looks a lot different than it does on Sunday. But that group, too, is coming to know each other, sharing each other's stories. And coming to know each other and share each other's stories is the first step of discerning the body. The discerning of the body is really important. Paul, to his boy Timothy, his disciple Timothy, writes to me, he says, "Here's what I want to urge, that you and your church," which is the Ephesian church, that prayers, petitions, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So in everyone in this church, this is what I do for you guys. I don't do it for everybody, but if you're on the directory, if you're in the directory, then I'm going to pray for you sometime during the week. Usually it's Tuesdays. Sometimes if I don't get to you on Tuesday, but I do it like this. So I just open up the directory, and you know you can get, I don't know, how many of you got the church directory? Yeah, you got the church directory. We got 43 families, and it starts out with the Balls. So it goes all the way from Kevin and Kimberly all the way, and the last person is Pam. So I pray from Kevin to Pam and everybody in between, just going down the list. And some of them have pictures and some of them don't. And, you know, if I remember the prayer that some prayer request that's up on this list, I pray for that. If I remember some prayer request that's on Danny or Art's list, I pray for that. But I'm going to pray for everybody. And my best thinking about the sermon moment and prayer moments is I walk. I walk in the morning, and I'm walking in the morning. And on Tuesday mornings, while I'm walking is with my phone. I'm praying down this list. I'm trying to discern the body. What do you need? And how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Well, this idea of discerning the body, I think is an important one. It's something we're already doing. I just want to tell you that these things on our list aren't just boxes that we check off. That when we do family life, unity prayer, greeting, communion, when we do the offering, when we do all of those things, we are in some extent, to some extent, discerning the body. And what Paul talks about in Corinthians is that for us to have a healthy body, we have to discern the body. For this group to be healthy, we have to know each other. And we have to care about each other. And we have to pray for each other. We're going to sing He Reigns. And this happens so much of the time. If you were in class this morning, you know, really, Steve's closing words were about discerning the body. He just didn't use that term, but that's what he talked about. And then Jeanette picked this song. Man, how does this happen? So I want to get to the song, how it starts. One of the things about the body of Christ is we're discerning the body of Christ stretches beyond these walls. You know, this isn't the whole body of Christ. About 10 hours ago, my son Jason went to church in Eswatini, Africa. The body of Christ is in Africa. We talked about this. We messaged about how was it? It was great. The body of Christ. Discerning the body of Christ. And then Jeanette picked this song. The song of the redeemed rising from the African plain to remind us that God's people, they're everywhere. And we're part of the body of Christ that is greater than just what's in this room. And that's what I, again, like Jeanette, I love the countries and finding out more about the body of Christ over there or over here. But for us today, as we sing this song, we just praise God that His Spirit is moving everywhere, but also in this, inside these walls, that we be conscious of the importance of asking these simple questions, how are you, and being able to just share life together, discerning the body, loving each other, caring for each other. This is who we are. That's why I'm such a glad to be part of CCC. This is another thing that happens. There's parts of our body, the body of CCC, that has gone, and I mentioned this at the first, they're somewhere else, okay? Part of the body of Christ of CCC is the Mullins kid clan that's in Abilene, or it's the Fraser clan that's in New York. We're all over the place, you know? Some of us are not at this building, but we're still discerning the body as we pray for them, as we love them, as we care for them. And when we sing these songs, we're singing with them as we are with the people around the world. Let's stand and sing this together.